Good afternoon, everyone. So we are all familiar with today's gospel, I'm sure, and have heard plenty of homilies or commentaries on it. The message of the gospel is obviously that God has given us all gifts and talents, and he expects us, as his children, to use those gifts and talents to be able to bear fruit. He wants us to have a full life using what he's given to us. And to a great degree, that is a proper interpretation. I think if we really pay attention to the gospel, we're going to see that there's a deeper message and a much more important message than we should use our gifts and talents. So the master here gives each of these servants a different amount of money, that's what a talent is, according to his ability. And he expects them to make more money, to bear fruit, as it were, from what he gave them. In order to do that, for these men to be able to make fruit, to get interest on their money, to increase what they have, is the same principle for any of us. If we have something and we want to get more of it, particularly when it comes to money, what do we have to do? In some way, shape, or form, we've got to take a risk. We've got to take a risk in bartering with other people. We risk maybe getting cheated, maybe getting the raw end of the deal. If we're going to take that money and invest it in stocks or a company, there's a chance that we can make the wrong decision and we can lose all of our money. To be able to increase the money that we have, to be able to have our talents grow, there's got to be a risk taken. And I think that's the real heart of the message, the challenge of the message of today's gospel. That the Lord wants us as Christians, as believers, whom he's given so many gifts and so many wonderful things. He wants us to bear fruit, yes. He wants us to use those gifts and talents. But the hard part of the gospel is he wants us to take a risk. Not a foolish risk, not a stupid risk, but we have got to be able to take risks when it comes to living out our faith. And we all know that this is not easy. It's easy, and we feel great when we say, well, the gospel means we should use our gifts and talents. But all of a sudden, we've got to put our life on the line. We've got to put our being and our reputation and our faith on the line and possibly lose it and possibly look like fools. And that's a lot different. But to really bear fruit, we have to take risks. So what we want to do today, or what I want to do, is to look at why it is so difficult for us, all of us, myself included, to take those risks. The temptation is real to be like that third person who wants to practice a safe Christianity. Doesn't want to offend the master, but is not willing to take a risk, and so buries his talents. That's that safe Christianity that never goes outside of our safe little shell. It's never willing to take a risk for the gospel. So what makes it difficult for us to take risks? What makes it difficult for the man in the gospel to take the risk? Why do we, just like him, so often bury our talents? Why do we so often find it difficult to take risks? I'm going to give several reasons why, sort of understanding these things. And I think as you look at them, we're going to see that we're all guilty of it in some way. We all struggle with these temptations, which make it difficult for us to take the risks necessary to follow Jesus Christ. The first is probably the most obvious one. What is the man's issue? What is our issue? It's a fear of failure. We don't want to take a risk because we don't want to fail. We don't want to lose what we have, but probably more significantly, we don't want to look like fools. We don't want to be wrong or perceived as incompetent, to look like we're weak. So the real root is pride. We want people to think we're great and we got our stuff together and we're holy and we always make the right decision. And so we don't take those risks. We bury the talent because of that fear of failure. Big thing that I see, though, and again, this is not really a bad thing or something out of maliciousness, is that people who are good Christians, who want to do the Lord's will, are so wrought by this fear of making a mistake, particularly when it comes to doing God's will. They're so worried that they're going to take a wrong step. They're so worried they're going to do something that's really not God's will, and that somehow it's all going to be lost. And so as a result, they never make a decision at all. They sit there like at the edge of the diving board, unable to take the dive, unable to jump off. And again, it comes from a good intention. We want to do God's will, but we can't make a decision. And I've been sort of praying through this and talking to a lot of people because I see it more and more often in young people. This fear of making the wrong decision when it comes to God's will. So if we look at the gospel, though, I think we can see an insight that might be very challenging to some of us. When the master, but can help us understand this issue, when the master gives these individuals the talents, does he say, all right, I'm giving these five talents and I want you to go invest it in these stocks, I want you to go buy these things, and that's exactly what you must do? Or I'm going to give you this money and this is the way that I want you to use it down to a T. He never does it at all. He says, here it is, go produce fruit for my glory. He doesn't give them the details. Maybe if the guys would have asked him, he would have given some advice. But the fact of the matter, it shows us that God, like the master, is not interested in micromanaging our lives. That's what we think, that God has every little thing planned out for us. That before we take the smallest step, we have to ask him and figure out what it's like. And I often talk to students about this. Imagine anyone here, particularly college students, that when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you get is a phone call from your dad or your mom saying, at 9 o'clock you're going to do this, and at 10 o'clock you're going to do this, and this is what you're going to study, and this is who you're going to date, and this is what you're going to eat for dinner. That would drive you crazy. Everyone would say, that person is not a good dad. The dad says, all right, I want you to go out and don't commit sin, and I have some maybe general idea of what I want you to do, but I've trained you well. I've given you the gifts and the knowledge and the talents you want. Go do what you need to do. So if we think that would be a bad dad, then why do we think a God who micromanages every single detail of our life would be a good God? Well, God is our Father. No. He cares about us, he loves us, and he does have a will for us, but he gives us the talents and says, go out and work for my glory. Take the risk. Now, he has wills for us in certain big things, I'm sure, and we need to ask him. But if we're so worried about making the wrong mistake, the real issue is we have an improper understanding of God. We think he's that micromanaging boss that we all hate, rather than a loving father who trusts us, who's given us the gifts, the talents, who knows our ability and has given us the gift of freedom and says, go do things for the glory of God, for my glory, with goodwill, and I'm going to bless you. So that's the second real problem as we pass on to it. The fear of failure is often rooted in our own false, prejudice, preconceived notions of who God is. So let's look at what the third servant says. When he's asked, why did you bury this? He says, because I know that you're a hard taskmaster. You reap where you do not sow. You are going to be a demanding person. So I buried it in the ground. But the fact of the matter is this the proper way for this servant to understand the master? Should he be fearful of him? What evidence do we have in the gospel that this guy is like that, a slave driver? The only evidence we have is without asking any questions, without telling them what to do, he says, I know your abilities. Here's my wealth. Go make me some money. He trusts them. He doesn't ask any questions. He doesn't say, but don't mess up. He gives his wealth away to them because he trusts them. He knows their ability. In the same way, God knows what we're capable of. He's given us the gifts and talents we need. He's not sitting here micromanaging us, and he doesn't sit around waiting for us to mess up. He's not a master, but he is a loving father. There's no questions. There's no strings attached. When God gives, he gives because he trusts us and he loves us. He's not a harsh master, but a loving father. And that's the problem. We often have the wrong concept of God in our lives, and so we act according to that, out of fear that he's going to punish us, that he's going to destroy us. But we have got to trust that God is not the master, but that God is our loving father. It's like the kid who's very, very young, and the father wants to throw the kid up in the air. What's happened? The child may be scared at first, but he allows the father to do it. Why? Because he trusts him. He knows that the father wants what is good. There's going to be a risk taken, but he trusts the heart of the father. That's the attitude that we should have. But if we don't have that attitude, then we're going to act out of fear. The fear of failure, the fear of punishment, that the Lord is going to rub our nose in it. So we've got to be very careful of that attitude, that evil spirit that pits our hearts against the heart of the Father, that gives us that prejudice to think that somehow he is this hard, demanding taskmaster who ultimately doesn't trust us to understand that he has given these gifts, that the scripture tells us that he does trust us, and he knows our goodwill, he knows what we're capable of, and he wants us to act to give him glory. So this is the third part, the third reason that so often we don't take risks. And it's tied to this false idea of who God is. It's the fact that the reason that we often have that fear, the root of our doubt about who God is not so much about God, but about ourselves. The real root of the fear, the real root of the unwillingness to take a risk, at least from my experience, is a tremendous self-doubt. Maybe a poor self-image. Call it what you want. We can look at the evidence and see God has trusted us with a lot. This third person, all of the men here, and the servant said, "This master trusts me. He's given me his wealth and says, go make money for it, from it." Imagine if someone you knew or I came to you and said, "Here, I'm going to give you $1,000 of my own dollars. Go make me some money." What does it say? It either says that I trust you or I'm stupid. But we need to see God is the Father who trusts us. He has confidence in us. The problem is we don't have confidence in ourselves. I'm not talking about a prideful way or some sort of a psychobabble-ish way. We have got to trust that if the Master trusts us, then maybe we do have some gifts and some talents. Maybe we do have some abilities. Maybe we are totally not messed up individuals. That we can do good things, and he trusts us because he knows that. But we tell ourselves lies because of mistakes we made in the past, because of an awareness of our own weakness, that we're no good. That we can't trust ourselves. That God can't trust us. And we begin acting out of those lies. Lies of self-doubt, of a lack of trust in us and trust in God the Father. And so guess what? We set ourselves up to fail. I've made these mistakes in the past. I'm so weak. Guess what? I'm going to make a mistake. It's called self-fulfilling prophecy. We see ourselves just in our own very sort of solipsistic way, rather than seeing ourselves as the Father sees us, trusting us, loving us, giving us gifts and talents. Not always worried about messing up and making a mistake. Are we going to do that? Absolutely. But the Lord knows our heart. He's going to pick us up and move us in the right direction. That's what I think the real root is, the real issue is. In so many people today, this inability to take risks for the gospel, to step out there and follow the Lord, is because of focusing too much on themselves, not seeing themselves in the light of the heart of the merciful and trusting Father. So what's the solution? How can we overcome this and learn to be like the servants, the first two servants, who understood what the master wanted and were willing to take those risks for him? How can we learn to take the risks? More importantly, how can we learn to have a proper understanding of who we are and who God is? The solution is easier said than done, I guess, but it's a simple one. The solution, the cure-all, is for each one of us to have a deeper awareness of, an experience of, God the Father's love for us. That He affirms us. It's good that we exist. He's given us gifts and talents and abilities, and He knows what they are. He knows what we can do. He knows what we can't do. He knows what we're capable of, and He knows what we're not capable of. And He's not going to give us something that we're not capable of. He's not setting us up to fail. He believes in us. That's why we are considered His sons and daughters. I talk a lot about St. Therese, and I really think that her spirituality, the spirituality of the little way, is key for everyone today. Because what is Therese's whole idea about is that she had complete trust in the Father. But she had experienced God's love throughout her life. So she was a brave young woman who was willing to take tremendous risks from when she was very, very young and confronting the Pope and saying, give me permission to go into Carmel early, breaking all protocol, to end the convent, having this desire to be all things for love. It was all rooted in her knowledge of God the Father's love for her. So can I force myself? Can I take a pill or a pray a novena, then all of a sudden magically know God the Father's love for me? Then all of a sudden have some confidence in my abilities and be willing to take the risk? No. There's no easy solution. The key is going to be praying for that knowledge and experience. Yes, if it comes to us directly, as it's happened to many of the saints, more importantly, realize that a lot of the time, God shows us His love for us and His trust in us by the way that others in our lives trust us and love us. I think it's a big issue. A lot of the times, many of us are broken. We didn't have our parents love us and accept us and affirm us as we needed to. Maybe we were bullied when we were young. Maybe people didn't trust us. And we began to tell ourselves that we're not trustworthy, that we're not dignified, that all we are going to do is mess things up. We've got to be able to see ourselves and how God loves us, often mediated through the eyes of others who love us and affirm us, even when they know how weak we are, even when they know how messed up we are, even when they know how hard it is for us to take risks. And so this message, this gospel, is probably more important than ever. There's all the craziness going on in the world. We need Christians who are willing to take risks, who are willing to step out and say, you know what, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to say, listen, I don't want to be associated with this type of behavior. This way of thinking is incorrect. To reach out and evangelize somebody, even though you may worry that they're going to think you're a fool. If we're not willing to take risks, we're never going to bear fruit. We're going to be like the guy who buries the talent in the ground. Particularly this is true when it comes to vocations, the priesthood of religious life. We need young people who are willing to take risks, who believe that if God calls them and gave them the talents, that He is going to give them the ability to fulfill His will. They're going to fail sometimes, they're going to make mistakes, but He's going to guide them in the right path, even though they may not know what it is. The words of St. John Paul II, when he first became Pope, be not afraid. To a world of Christians who are so afraid, we cannot be afraid to take risks in proclaiming the gospel. That's the message. Be not afraid. The person who knows the Father's love for them, who knows how much God trusts us, that dispels all fear. We can walk in confidence, truth producing fruit, knowing the Father's love for us. Amen.